Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Welcome back to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long in studio, taking you to 8 o'clock tonight. And then at 7 o'clock tonight, we'll go inside LSU baseball on the Jay Johnson Show right here on the Big 870. We're going to go back to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. We're going to take Jimmy and Gretna. Jimmy in the huddle with Mike and Charlie.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
All right.
Hey, real quick. Hey, congratulations to Kim Mulkey. Big turnaround. We knew she would do it. You know, she got that positive attitude that kind of transcends things. She said in the interview, I want things done yesterday, and she kind of gets that kind of result.
Or the day before yesterday. Kim runs on her own terms, on her sort of own clock. And so you get it, and you hear it, Jimmy, when she comes on with us, or you hear it in another interview. I mean, she's traveling at a different speed than a lot of coaches.
Well, I'm looking forward to her next outfit. She was dressed like a nature boy Ric Flair.
Yes!
I like that. That's cool. I like that. And, you know, she owns it, and people believe it. And before you know it, you think she's the female version of Ric Flair. It's her reality. It becomes my reality.
Yeah, I get it. I get that part. I have a friend of mine who's – we sort of the same age, maybe a year difference. And when she walked out Friday, he was like, Mike, look, is the Nate. You know, and I get it. She's the Nate.
Hey, listen, Mike, real quick. And we love Mulkey. Congratulations. I'll switch real quick to football and Lamar Jackson. You know how often you guys say, and you know, back in the day, the days of, say, a team like the Saints trading a whole draft or say Ricky Williams or a running back's over, right? Because you guys always say running backs aren't going as high as they used to.
No.
They have a short shelf life. They only got so many carries in them, and teams are responding by drafting later, and even undrafted guys like I.E. Pierre Thomas down here and the success we had with him. So looking at Lamar Jackson, and I mean, he's a quote-unquote dual-threat quarterback. We all know, like, when you're in high school and you're just a freak of nature athlete, super fast, very elusive, you could just run around freshmen, sophomores on the field. Then Division I's another thing. But like you said, the NFL level, these linebackers can move too, and those hits add up. Do you think that, you know, in some ways, obviously the Ravens and, you know, Lamar wants to get his money. He's an MVP. He hasn't really won anything, per se, big. But he's a former NFL MVP. He's still kind of young. But with his style of play, is it kind of like the phenomenon with running backs where, you know, he wants $45 million a year or whatever it is, and the reality is the market and the Ravens and all other teams are like, no, well, you know, with you taking so many hits and having some leg injuries and that style that you play, we really aren't going to invest either trading for draft picks or – big money, because even if the team were to trade for him, Mike and Charlie, I mean, they're still going to have to pay him all that money, right, that he wants. And do you foresee that basically he's going to, because of his style, he's going to price himself out from a standpoint of maybe the Ravens just keep him, per se, around the money Derek Carr is making because of his style of play, kind of like running backs are now a dime a dozen and they're cheap on the draft day, you know? So I want to get your take on that.
I think two things go against him. One is the fact of the guaranteed money. I think, you know, in some of his comments are things that have gotten out about that guaranteed money or having something close to Deshaun Watson. I think there are some teams like, okay, Jimmy Haslam did that, but we not. And I think the owners, listen, they can talk about collusion all they want. I think they are part of it. They all sort of part of the cabal here to say, we're not guaranteeing that money. We're not doing it. I do think there's some kind of spillover from the Watson deal about that guaranteed money. Because two first-round picks for a guy who's won 74% of his games. He's won more games for a quarterback under 25 years old than any other guy in NFL history. And you tell me he's not worth two number one picks? Come on. You're fooling yourself with that. But I think, man, just timing was horrible for him. And you're not really getting Lamar's point on exactly what does he really want out of this deal. Now, you sort of got it today that he wants out, and I get that part, but we've been knowing that. It's exactly when you can look at this and see it across the board and say, hey, what happens here on his asking price? Because the two number ones aren't an issue. It's going to be the contract, and it's the guaranteed part of that contract, Jimmy. I think that is the big issue right now with Lamar.
Yeah, it's the, as you mentioned, Jimmy Haslam giving a guaranteed deal, fully guaranteed deal to Deshaun Watson. It really kind of muddled things up in the NFL. And you said it when it happened, Mike, 31 owners are mad at Jimmy Haslam for doing this.
Man, they are steamed as steamed could be because they felt Jimmy crossed the precedent here in giving Deshaun Watson that type of money fully guaranteed.
Right.
They understood giving him, if it was 65, 70% of it guaranteed, but the entire contract. But Jimmy felt this way. I'm not going to get him to come to Cleveland unless I can fully guarantee him that money. Mm-hmm. And so that was – come on, he wasn't going to Cleveland.
No.
It was going to be either New Orleans or Atlanta.
It wasn't even an option. Cleveland, yeah. When it happened, everyone was just like, when did Cleveland get involved? And then the fully guaranteed line comes out, and you say, oh, that's why he's going to Cleveland. But with Lamar, I think Jimmy's got a point with what he was just saying about how injuries and play style may be like limiting his potential suitors, quote-unquote. I still think, as we said earlier in the show – some team is going to go after, an owner is going to think,
enough's enough.
Yeah, I want Lamar Jackson on this team, and they'll make the move for it, and they'll figure out the contract details later. Do I think Lamar's going to get a fully guaranteed deal like Deshaun? No. But I think he's going to probably get more money from a certain team that wants him than what Baltimore's willing to give him now.
And I think all this stuff about maybe players, a maybe guy, okay, a maybe in a Will Levis and a maybe in an Anthony Richardson or a C.J. Stroud and even Bryce Young, who I think is the best bet of the four, to be honest with you. I think they're going to have one owner or two say, enough of this. You're trying to sell me a bill of goods that you're not going to be able to cash. We're going to go out and get Lamar Jackson. Cost us two first-round picks, we're going to do it, but the deal's got to be right. And you can't fully guarantee it.
I think that's going to be the case. But I think that he's going to get more on the market than what Baltimore was willing to give him. I just think that we talked last hour about looking in the crystal ball. What do you see next from Lamar? He's not going to be playing in the Ravens uniform next season, in my opinion, and in your opinion as well.
I would never say never, but those chances are really slim. Really, really slim. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870, and we'll bring in former college basketball coach and now college basketball analyst Scott Spinelli will join us here on the Big 870 right after this break.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof?
Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTeo along with Charlie Long in studio and on our Oakwood Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, former basketball coach and now college basketball analyst Coach Scott Spinelli is on the line with us. Coach, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Always a pleasure, guys. I love being on the show.
Man, we love to have you, Coach. Scott, go back. This is a couple weeks, and I asked you, name me a team that might make a run at this, a dark horse team, and you said Miami or Florida. I remember it distinctly. You talked about the Hurricanes and how they could match up, and sure enough, I don't think too many people would have guessed Florida Atlantic or San Diego State. Now, maybe UConn, but Miami or Florida was the one team that came out of your mouth real quickly.
Well, you know what, guys, look, I think what you guys, and you've seen this, and you guys know this in terms of basketball, when you get into a tournament like the NCAA, when you have great guards like they do, and they've got a whole plethora of them, it makes for them to have a chance to win every game. Because as much as, you know, you want to have those big athletic guys in the interior, again, you know, 3 points are more than two last I look. So when you're shooting and making threes, or if the matchups are such that you can drive by those bigger guys and create an easy shot for a teammate, whether it is a two or a three, I think obviously Miami has that type of depth and talent in the backcourt, and that's what makes them so dangerous.
Coach, Florida Atlantic, what a ride for them, right? Man, to get to the Final Four, to see this team and how they've been able to get through everything and to get to that Final Four spot. Man, for an old coach, that's got to really make you feel good to see that adventure for Florida Atlantic.
As a coach, as a dad, I mean, you know, with two Division I sons playing basketball, it does make me feel good. And it should make every field is a late developer, whether they're a top 100 kid. I mean, look, every student athlete has their his or her own path in terms of their development. And I think what makes it so much fun is you're seeing a team like Florida Atlantic that doesn't have the so-called McDonald's All-American or top 100 guys. But what they do have that no statistic in sports can measure, and that is their determination, their effort, their perseverance. I mean, for a team like that to out-rebound Kansas State by 20, and then out-rebound Tennessee by 4, which, again, Tennessee, bigger, stronger, more physical at every position, just shows that there is room in sports at all levels for those student-athletes or those players that want to give that extra effort.
Coach, I got a couple stats here for you that I'm sure you already know, but this is the first Final Four ever without a 1, 2, or a 3 seed, and then if you add up all the Final Four seedings, you get the second highest all-time, only behind 2011's Final Four. Is this the strangest bracket that you can remember?
It really is. I think coming into the tournament, guys, we talked about this, I had never seen an NCAA tournament with this many storylines behind the one seeds, right? There was, God, every one seed you could have kind of made a case for as it relates to why or why they might not make it, you know, all the way. And then I think, again, you could look at the two seeds and kind of almost, you know, make a case there. So I just don't think there was that dominant team. And we saw that all year, right, in the rankings and who was there in terms of top team or top five. But I do think there's a big, big change right now that's starting to occur in college basketball. And I wouldn't even be surprised to see it in football, but for certain basketball, and that is every coach wants a team that gets old. They want experience. They want older guys. And I think with this transfer portal, with that extra year in COVID, you know, we're going to continue to see teams go into that portal and try to get older and older and older as best they can. Look, Miami has it figured out, guys. I mean, most of us out here trying to figure out this NIL stuff. They've got a $2.2 million NIL deal combined for all their guys. And so they figured out how to utilize it. I don't know if anybody else has, but, you know, tip your hat to them, too. And I think we're going to start seeing more of that also.
Coach, you talked a little bit about Miami's guard play, but I want to get your thoughts on Jim Larranaga, who I think is one of the more underrated coaches in college basketball today. He got that team to the Elite Eight last year, and then this season he makes that next step to the Final Four. I just want to get your thoughts on him.
Well, you know, I've had the pleasure as assistant coach back even at Wichita State, coaching against him as an assistant, and then obviously through the ACC from my days at Maryland when Maryland was there, as well as Boston College. And even as a head coach, interim head coach, I had a chance to coach against him down at Miami. But the one thing that always kind of is very, to me, stands out about Coach Larranaga and his teams is the fact that he allows those guys to play what I would call like structured freedom, whereas his kids are out there playing to their strengths. They're the best version of themselves as it relates to playing the game with a lot of confidence, a lot of freedom, you would say. Yes, there's accountability, but I don't see a lot of negative reinforcement. I see a lot of encouragement. I see these kids out there playing loose, having fun. And if you're a player, you guys played in any sport, if you're playing for a coach that truly believes in you and allows you to play your game, nobody's perfect out there, and I think he allows some of his guys to play through those mistakes. And to me, that's kind of the recipe and the formula for why he's so successful. And I think that is probably a great recipe for most coaches to follow.
To watch Connecticut, I think, of all the teams, that's not the biggest surprise to see them get to the Final Four. A really well-rounded basketball team, got some experience, play great defense, can shoot it up. But I had a friend of mine ask me this. How could they get through it when you've seen some of the other teams with about as much experience, maybe even more talent, not get there? So how Connecticut was able to get through this sort of maze to get to the Final Four, this year really sticks out more than any other year. And Coach, I don't know if you'd agree with this, but I do think because of name, image, likeness, and because of the transfer portal, we're going to see more and more sort of Final Fours similar to what we've got this year.
I agree with you. I'm totally on board with that. I think, there's a big difference. And again, I think you're looking at a couple different things here, to your point, and that is this. When you're in college as a coach, I guess there's two ways to try to put together your team. One is through the old-fashioned way of balance through recruiting classes, identifying, evaluating players, and bringing the kids on and developing them. And then there's this new wave of free agency where you can actually go out, select who you'd like, the best players who are in the portal, bring them in, so-called on a one-year deal, maybe a two-year deal, whatever it may be. You can incorporate the NIL in terms of, these kids coming there and being in a position where they can be use their name, image, likeness for compensation, et cetera. So I think we're going to see, different ways for these colleges to be building their programs. Look, and you guys know this too. You can sprinkle in transfers. To me, what makes this college experience special is to have these kids, coming up under your regime and developing them. And then you have to have those relationships. They're going to be key now for coaches to have to build these relationships with these kids, not only as their student athletes or their athletes, but as people in their support groups. Otherwise, they can just opt out at any time.
Coach, staying with UConn here, I want to get your thoughts. I mean, the past 2 years under Dan Hurley, they've been upset in the first round, and now they're in the Final Four. So that's a pretty big jump. But UConn is a program. They've won four national championships under two different head coaches with Jim Calhoun and Kevin Ollie. And now they're looking for their fifth under a third different head coach with Dan Hurley. When a lot of people talk about the blue bloods of college basketball, it's always the Kentuckys, the Kansas, the Dukes, the North Carolinas. How close is UConn to becoming that blue blood and joining that conversation?
Coach, it's a dark color. I don't know if it's blue, but it's in that range,
right? Five championships with three different head coaches is pretty impressive.
It is. I mean, they've got, it just speaks to what University of Connecticut has there in terms of their infrastructure too, right? They've got all of the ingredients in terms of the support that the kids need, the facilities, You know, when you're talking about the best nutrition, strength coaches, et cetera, you know, obviously they've got everything that they actually need there, to your point, to win it all. But look, I mean, when you think about Coach Calhoun and what he did at UConn, I remember playing against him when I was at Boston University. When he had first gotten the job, he left Northeast and then went to UConn, and we would beat them when I was at BU. He was at UConn. And then, you know, he built this thing into a monstrosity of a program. And so I do think, again, UConn you could look at and say, you know, they are one of the elite programs in college basketball. But now it's going to be about sustaining that, and they're going to lose. Brandon Hawkins obviously is going to the draft. Sanogo, I don't know, you know, where he's at, but for certain he'll probably test the waters. You're looking at a kid like Clinigan who doesn't play that much, the 7-footer who's got what it takes. So depending upon what they lose to and how they're able to sustain that, I guess, is going to be the big question. But to your point, they are certainly equipped, UConn, and they have everything in place to win national titles.
Another great story, Coach, that I kind of recognized was when COVID canceled the 2020 NCAA tournament, San Diego State was a 30-2 team. They had one of the best defenses in college basketball that season, and they weren't able to prove it on the floor and make a run to the potential Final Four appearance for the first time. And now, a couple of years later, 2023, they make that run, and now they're in the Final Four. I just wanted you to talk about San Diego State and kind of getting that second chance a couple of years later and then making that push that they've made this season.
You know, and you got to be happy, right, for the kids, for the coaches, for the program, I mean, for the university, the alumni, the student body, et cetera, you know, to have an opportunity like this. And, you know, look, it was heartbreaking that year of COVID when they did cancel the tournament. And, you know, you can look at it a couple different ways, right? I mean, we lost a whole generation, guys, of student athletes that missed out on opportunities. Man, it's heartbreaking to see. Because they didn't get an extra year in high school. They didn't get an extra year in JUCO. It was just those college kids. On the flip side, you know, a team like San Diego State, who had probably positioned themselves that year, and those kids, again, they dream of this opportunity. I mean, this is, you know, their whole life they've been sacrificing. Their parents have been driving them here, there, the workouts, the blood, sweat, tears that they put in to reach their goals. And then they got it, you know, hey, we're canceling the tournament. So to see a somewhat, you know, of an opportunity like this that they earned, you know, come back around, it is obviously gratifying for everyone.
Coach, from a women's standpoint, to see what Kim Mulkey has done at LSU, just remarkable. And we have her on almost every week, and she talks about division and the back. We ain't done anything yet. We haven't won anything, okay? And she's sort of setting this up for her run. And, man, she has lined up a host of top recruits for next year. But in year two of a program, to make this sort of jump to get them to the Final Four, and you understand how you had to get there, and yesterday maybe wasn't a great game to watch if you like scoring. It was a lot of missed short shots, layups, that sort of thing. It was more of a defensive game. But it's like almost like watching a 13-3 football game. For some people, they don't like it. Man, I want to see them score all the time. But for a coach, okay, you won by double digits, but you didn't shoot extremely well. You got something here that you can really get on them. Yeah, you got to the Final Four, but let me tell you how you got to improve. As a coach, you know you got a little bit of basketball meat on the bone to get on them about. But the run for Kim Mulkey here at LSU in year two has just been remarkable.
You know, I remember her when she was coaching at Baylor. I was coaching at Texas A&M back in those days. And, you know, look, you know, Waco is not that far from College Station, so you kind of follow both the men and the women. But what's impressed me most about watching her coach and her teams is they take on her personality. I mean, the passion, fire. You know, and I think, again, you know, you talk about this in sports, every team eventually takes on the personality of the head coach. And certainly this LSU team that she's coaching, or this program, has taken on her fiery personality and her passion. And it's really fun to watch. She's a one heck of a coach. And to your point, I mean, they're just finding ways to win right now. They didn't shoot, like you said, well. I followed them a little bit in the tournament. But, you know, that's a great sign moving into the Final Four, because if things start clicking for them, who knows what could happen.
And then, Coach, I got to ask you, we've previewed all the teams. I want to get your picks for the two Final Four games, San Diego State, FAU, and then Miami, UConn.
You know, guys, I tell you what, you're not going to believe my pick, so I'm going to tell it to you. I really believe, again, I'm going to stick with that that emotional determination, that passionate perseverance, and that analytic that just can't be judged by any metric. And I'm going to stick with Florida Atlantic. I just think they're going to beat San Diego State in a very, very good game. And I just think it's going to be done through their determination and passion and their energy. And I think in the other game, look, just to be honest, guys, I got to tell you, until somebody – I thought Houston had the best team, and Miami just ran right past them. I mean, as good as UConn is, and they've got everything, what I'm anxious to see is UConn. They've had an easy ride. This is not going to be an easy game. They're not beating Miami. At least they're not going to coast to a 15-point victory in this game, not with those guards. So when they get tested and it gets really, you know, stressful on that stage, you know, what's going to happen with Connecticut? So I'm going to take an all-Florida national title game, you know, with the national championship, you know, going to Miami. That's what I'm picking.
Coach, when you think about it, a 73-year-old coach – at Miami of Florida, and people always ask about relationships. I have coaches in my family, and they will always ask about relating, and you know, some of them are, man, you know, it's difficult today to relate sometimes to that teen or that early 20-year-old and to motivate them. But man, to see a 73-year-old coach do it, That's really an accomplishment, because
I love the videos of him. Did you see the videos of him dancing in the locker room, Mike? It's one of my favorite
things. So it goes to show you, okay, some people can adapt and change and others can't. Coach, they stuck back in 1950 or 1960. They cannot adjust to today's game, but he's been able to do it.
He has. I agree with you guys. And you know what? Age is just a number. Look, I think when you're having that much fun, and you're his age and you're able to go out there and, you know, really, you know, enjoy this. I mean, because this is what this look, for what it's worth, guys, and we all probably could attest to this, you know, probably our favorite days, at least most of our favorite memories, have been when we're in college. And I think Coach Larrañaga captures that with his players. I think they just are having the time of their life out there. And in fact, because of his leadership and how he presents himself and how he approaches it, to your point, I mean, the dancing at 73, God bless him. but this goes to show you, you know, age really is just a number.
Coach, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. We always appreciate it. Great insights, as always. And hope to have you on next Monday, and we'll be down to the final two.
Thanks for having me, guys. Okay, great to be on the show.
Thanks so much. Always super. Former college basketball coach and now college basketball analyst Scott Spinelli. Always terrific with us, and he'll be on next Monday to preview the championship game for the title, so to speak. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 right after this break. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelier along with Charlie Long in studio. Before we go to the Smasher, let me answer this question. This guy from 4771, you mentioned a blocking tight end and name one from Notre Dame. Michael Mayer is his name. He's just not a blocking tight end. He can also catch the football really well. So if you've watched Notre Dame, you understand he's a really good football player. And now name me a player the Saints drafted from Notre Dame that was worth a damn. Well, all I know is Dave Wehmer came out of Notre Dame. He was a really good football player for the Saints. The Saints haven't spent a lot of capital. Now, Ian Holt, who they pick, I mean, yeah, Ian Book, not Ian Holt. Ian was our guy in studio, but Ian Book didn't work out. But come on, you're not going to do that. You're going to eliminate a lot of people if you start saying, well, I'm not picking a guy from that school because some of the guys we picked didn't work out. I had this conversation with Archie Manning one time about when Peyton came out. A lot of people, oh, I'm not picking Peyton Manning from Tennessee. Name me the last guy that came out of the SEC that was really worth anything at quarterback. You know, was the last all-pro quarterback from the SEC before Peyton? his dad, Archie. But they got a lot of people who, just like 47, I forget what exact number it was, that picked Ryan Leaf. He's going to be the star. He's going to be. It's not going to be Peyton Manning. Joe Montana's talked about it. You know what really sort of hurt me? People were saying, name me the last Notre Dame big-time quarterback. He went in round three. That worked out pretty good for San Francisco, right? So for if you start eliminating guys that don't make it from certain schools, your list going to be mighty short.
Michael Mayer would be a great pick for the Saints, if he's there.
So this is a guy who probably didn't watch Notre Dame. And listen, that's you're right. You don't have to watch Notre Dame football, but he's just not a blocking tight end. But he can block, and he's a really good receiver. They got some people that have said, I'm not picking linemen from Georgia. Remember the last one, got in all kind of trouble at Tennessee. You know, he's out of the league today. You can't do it. Everybody's a different individual from each school. And so if you start eliminating people, you're in trouble. You got to take that guy for what he is at that particular time and grade him. If you start eliminating guys, naming a guy from Southern Cal's been the last big-time player for the Saints. Okay? So that would that eliminate Southern Cal if you're selecting a player? Again, it doesn't work that way. You got to look at everything individually on picking players. And so Michael Mayer, just remember, he's a pretty good ball player. If you've watched Notre Dame or even seen highlights, that guy can play. Now, that's some really good tight ends in this draft class.
He's as well-rounded as it gets, Mike. I
mean, yeah.
You got Dalton Kincaid, maybe a better receiving tight end. But
And for potential,
Darnell Washington. But Michael Mayer is the best of both. Like, if you want the well-rounded tight end prospect, if he falls to 29, I think it'd be a slam dunk pick.
And so when you start eliminating guys from different colleges, you're making a huge mistake.
It's dumb.
Okay, and everybody got their own likes and dislikes about a school, but it is what it is in this case. We're going to go to the Smasher on I-10. Smasher, you're in the huddle with Mike and Charlie.
Hey, y'all. How y'all doing?
All right, Smasher. What you got, brother?
Hey, man, I want to touch on Lamar Jackson right quick. Listen, I remember the first game he actually played coming out of college. It was actually against us. They had the tall guy, comes from Delaware. He was playing at the time. And I don't know, he might have got hurt against us. He came in. Lamar Jackson, of course, has been a staple since. Now, here's my thing. Yeah, they saw his had wheels, he was made, you know, there was always the controversy, the speculation, like he would say after a good game, how's that for a running back? My thing is, Lamar's got a talented enough arm, he's got the skins on the wall, he's a pretty accurate passer as far as I can tell. He does not necessarily have to stay in that kind of offense where they're requiring him to do as much running as he's doing. All these quarterback powers and stuff, Lamar, I think, has been around long enough to understand the game, the different intricacies, wrinkles, instant progressions and all. But he could be a drop-back passer, but still utilize his legs more. Like, let's say, for instance, Randall Cunningham. You know, back in those times, offenses weren't as detailed as you see today, like what they do with Jalen Hurts, where they designed it more around utilizing those legs. It was more of an interventional thing. Like, what I'm trying to say about Lamar is that he can have similar success. Look at Michael Vick. All he is, he was with the Falcons. Yeah, you know, he burned his all. He showed what he had there with his legs and everything. But look at his last season. I want to say that was when he played with the Eagles. All right? I didn't understand why they didn't allow this dude to play. That was the most accurate I'd ever seen Michael Vick play. I mean, you know he had an arm, but the accuracy, the tight windows he was throwing in, the poise, the timing, you know, the anticipation, all of the intangible stuff that you want to see in a mature quarterback, I felt actually came to fruition after all the stuff he had been through. Unfortunately, he didn't stay in the league long after that, or maybe that was the last deal. So I'm thinking, similar to that, our guy right here, Lamar, could do the same thing. Go to a system that would allow him to, you know, maybe improvise a little bit, but give him something to bite on. Let him focus more on proving that arm talent that we know he has. you embrace that, and in turn, work harder to prove all the naysayers wrong. And I just want to know what you think about that.
All I know is, watch that Monday night game he played against the Saints.
Woo-wee.
He was a tilt-the-field player. Now, a lot of people from Saints fans, they don't want to admit that. Oh, you know, no, he wasn't that good. No, watch that game. He looked like he was playing at a different level as a runner and a passer. Is he going to miss some games to injuries? Most likely. But, man, when you watch him play, he is special as a football player, not only as a runner, but he's gotten so much better in the passing game. And other than Mark Andrews, who he's had to throw to? Most people would have a difficult time naming off them receivers that he's played with. Hollywood Brown, but then he wanted extra money. They dealt him off to the Cardinals.
They've spent some top picks on receivers, but they just haven't really worked out.
And Bateman, he's been injury prone since he got into the league. So, listen, I'm a big Lamar fan. I still can't believe a team hasn't made a run at him yet, but I do think that will happen in time. We'll be back to finish it up here on Sports Talk right after this break on the Big 870. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long. Duran Duran will be in concert in the Smoothie King Center on June 7th. Want to see him? WWL has your tickets. Log in and listen to WWL for your chance to win a pair of tickets to see Duran Duran's Future Past Tour. Every hour you listen on the free Odyssey app or WWL.com earns you another entry all month long. The more you listen, the more chances to win. Log in and listen and win Duran Duran tickets, courtesy of Live Nation and WWL. Let's go to Terry on our text line. Terry, in the huddle with Mike and Charlie.
Hey, Mike, Charlie, how y'all doing?
All right, Terry.
What's up, Terry?
All right, I'm going to be brief because I know y'all about to end, end this session. But, Mike, Cleveland opened the Pandora's box with the, signing of Deshaun Watson.
That's true.
You know, they opened the Pandora's box. I mean, but really, Deshaun Watson, I'm saying Lamar Jackson, he deserves the money. He is the MVP of the league.
You singing to the choir. I agree with you.
We both love Lamar.
I think it would be a great pickup. But what it's done now, come on, they can deny collusion all they want. They all in this together, okay? Jimmy Haslam went outside the building, so to speak, to get Deshaun Watson because it was his only shot. But now all of them have sort of put their hands in there in this Whoa Bundy moment that we're not going to do it. But you're going to have somebody break from that, Terry. I'm telling you, you're going to have an owner that says, you know what? I don't believe in Anthony Richardson. I don't believe in Will Levis. I want a guy that's won more games than anybody in NFL history as a starting quarterback before 25 years old and has won 70. Who's give up two first-round picks? Man, I got my hand up in the air, and somebody's going to do it for Lamar.
I'm going to leave you with this, though, Mike. I love you. I got to go. The only thing I'm saying, Mike, be fair. He is an outstanding quarterback. He's out.
No question.
He doesn't have the wide receivers. He has no wide receiver.
Correct, yes.
Name the starting wide receiver for the Baltimore Ravens for the last year.
Devin Duvernay, Bateman's always hurt.
I think Sammy Watkins spent some time there.
Hollywood Brown, who was a good player. I like Hollywood. The only thing is I can't keep him healthy because he's maybe 168 pounds soaking wet. He's not playing with a great group. Now, Mark Andrews, different story at tight end. But that's been it.
Last but not least, Mike. He deserves his money. He really is an outstanding quarterback.
I agree with you. I agree with you 200%. But I don't think.
All right, y'all have a good one.
Thank you, Terry. But I don't think he'll get it all fully guaranteed. I think he's moved off of that, knowing that in today's climate, he's not going to get that fully guaranteed like Deshaun Watson got it guaranteed by the Cleveland Browns because it was the only place that would do it.
Owners are going to do all they can to make sure that Deshaun Watson deal is an outlier, not becoming the norm.
I agree with that. Charlie, thanks so much. Really appreciate it. We'll be back tomorrow with more sports talk. Hey, keep listening to the Big 870 and right here on WWL. The Jay Johnson Show's coming up next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio.
Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day.
Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.